Welcome back, everybody, to the We Are Adults Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. It's the 150th episode. 150 episodes of bullshit that you've had to listen to and try to claw through and regret listening to. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, how are you, man?
You know, like, when we got to 150 episodes, it would be nice if we at least had, like, one listener for every 10 episodes we've done. Like, we've gained one new listener for every 10 episodes. But I don't think we're at that level yet.
We don't give away enough free shit. That's probably what it is.
So maybe.
In this episode, we're giving away free nothing. A whole can of nothing. That you could take it home and then show all your friends and family your nothing.
Well, I mean, you do have, like, a box of, like, stickers and t-shirts that I keep telling you to bring to me so I could give them away, but you'd rather just hide them in your closet and move them when you move from, like, house to house or state to state.
Fair enough. That's a fair point.
I mean, yeah. I'm not wrong, right?
You're not wrong. It's good. It reminds me that I'm part of something that I regret. Every time I move that box.
It's like if you drop out of college, but for some reason you hang on to the last semester that you attended college of books. Because you might go back and you might need them again.
Right. What do you do with them? I don't know. You just throw them away? Like, nobody wants them. Nobody buys them from you.
I mean, like the only thing worse than, like, GameStop on trade-ins is college bookstores.
Yeah, I can't give you any money for that. Why? I literally just bought this. It's brand new. I used it barely. The we're going a different direction with the course and stuff, so we're just gonna go with a different book, you know? Okay, but this is the same edition. Yeah, it is that edition, but it's not the special one designed for this school. You see, on this copy, it says the special Camden County one. You just have the fucking regular one, so I need you to fuck off. Wow. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That is a real story about how, you know, my girlfriend actually had to buy a book, and it wasn't just the book. I had to buy the special edition for the college, but the whole, like, selling it was not true. Trying to sell back was not true. But there is now, like, they've upped the game. Like, it's starting to get even harder to, like, get your books, sell your books back.
Well, I think that's because, like, you know, students have realized that they could, like, rent their books through, like, Chegg.com or even Amazon. Like, they have places where you can, like, basically, like, Redbox stuff or Netflix style rent books for the semester and then send them back.
Yeah. And now you need, like, an access code for the class.
Yes.
Because you have to go into, you know, online and enter your code so you can get your homework. It's
right. And then they say, and then people who haven't been to college for, like, I don't know, 5 or 10 years even, like, let alone, like, 20 or 30 years are like, no, like, when I went to school, like, why are you complaining about the prices of books and the issues with books? And it's like, you know, even another example for you where it's a thing of, like, you start a new class and you buy the book, but then you, like, go to the first day of class and you realize you don't like the teacher, you just don't want to be in the class, and so you try to take it back and you haven't even, like, opened the plastic on it. And they're like, we're sorry, but they've already released 2 new editions since then. And you're like, I just literally bought this book last week.
Oh, and you know what the funny part too is now they're not even giving you a book. You're just getting paper. You gotta buy your own fucking 3-ring binder to put your new quote unquote book into.
I've seen that, yes.
They're not even
the only bigger scam than that is the, like, mattresses. You know, like, every mattress store has its, like, commercial where it's like, if you find this mattress cheaper anywhere else, it's free. Or you get it, like, for the lower price or whatever, but, like, every mattress store has the same mattress, but they're just named different.
Yeah.
It's like the Super Mega Ultra Deluxe or the Super Ultra Deluxe or the Mega Ultra Duper Deluxe.
You know, this is the Super Sleeper 3000. Now, that guy over there, he's just got the Super Slumber 2000. Like, it's not the same thing. It's literally by the same company. Yeah, but it's not the same mattress, so I'm going to just need you to sign the line and give me your credit card so you can have this mattress.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay what we're charging you. Sorry about that. Sorry, not sorry. Oh, man. I didn't, you know what? I didn't even think we'd make it to going back. I didn't think we'd make it to 150 episodes, Sean. I thought you'd give up before then. Well, one of us would, because our propensity to like dive deep into something and then just like decide that we're done with it, like literally at the snap of a finger.
I just feel like it's too much of a feel like it's too much of a chore to stop at this point now.
It's like there's a movie. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. It's like a Canadian movie, and it had like Rick Moranis and this other guy, and they were like from like basically Canada's version of SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a scene where like people are trying to kill them, and they cut they get their brakes cut, and they're going down it like a windy hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize they can't stop, so the guy driving just takes his hands off the wheel, and the other guy's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Ah, there's no point in steering now."
pretty much.
Danny, so Sean,
I was gonna say, Danny, I did something special for this episode. I finally worked on the show. I mean, this was a lot of effort, Danny. Let's be honest.
I'm impressed that you actually followed through on both parts of what you did. I mean, I'd understand the first part, but then it's like the second part, maybe not so much.
So I brewed the beer and then mailed the beer to you. Or did you mean that the beer came out good? Or was that the second part?
The beer was actually mailed to me. Not you didn't just put it in the closet next to the shirts and stickers.
Pretty much. You know, I should have just stuck some stickers in the package now that I think about it. You know, when I go back and I think of
the shirts as padding.
Yeah. You know, what would have been smart too? You know, if I wasn't so hungover last Sunday on the show and bottled it then and didn't bottle it on, you know, Monday and then forget about the case on Tuesday, then had to finally ship it out on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised it made it. I got the text from you, and you're like, "Yeah, I'm mailing it out today," and I'm like, "Gonna make it."
Your name's not Amazon. You can't ship stuff through UPS.
Yeah, it's just gonna get put in a trailer to sit because it's like, "Oh yeah, we ran out of time."
It's like you have to work this trailer. Why? Because people paid extra. We gotta at least get some of this unloaded. Come on.
Exactly.
It's not part of the garbage over there.
But it's like, well, it's already 10 o'clock and the trucks are driving out of the building as we speak. So if I unload this building, it's just going to get put back in. Unload this trailer, it's just going to get scanned to tell the people that are expecting it that it got put in a different trailer. So, Sean, what did you brew and send?
Actually, why don't you take a drink and try to tell me what I brewed?
It's a beer.
It's a beer. It tastes, you know, beerish.
You know what? Like, I forgot that it was coming. I ended up passing out on Friday when I got home from work. And I woke up and I was awake for a while, just kind of like in a groggy state. And I was like, "Oh wait, I'm supposed to be getting something from Sean." And so I went out and opened the door, and sure enough, it was there sitting on the porch.
Nice.
And then I opened it up, and it was like a little bit of like both bottles, I guess, had been jostled, like hadn't quite settled down yet from the transport, so they had a little bit of like the head in the bottle.
Yeah.
So, and then I set them out so they can get to like room temperature before throwing them in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And so when I poured it, man, I got a nice foamy top on it. It smells good. It's a stout of some sort. I'm not sure if I'm picking up the adjuncts. Is there adjuncts?
Is there? Oh, yes. There's stuff in there.
Because it's creamy. I can't place it.
So you're getting the creaminess because I threw a lot of oatmeal into it.
Okay, yeah. I think.
So it is a oatmeal porter stout. I don't even remember which one it was, what I decided to call it. There is cinnamon and vanilla in it as well. And then
that's what that was. I got something.
Yeah, and on top of it, Danny, I actually bought a this wood infuser to give it like a barrel aged taste to it, and I let it sit in there for a week.
Yeah, I can the it's like I can get the wood and then some of the vanilla is a little fainter and then the cinnamon's like it's just there to like tickle your taste buds, I guess.
Yeah, the infuser's pretty cool because it's like for 5 gallon batches, and it's like, yeah, it's you only have to put it in there because of how they do the spiralness on the this infuser. It helps make it to where it doesn't take very long to get some the wood taste into it.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely, it's not quite like, it's not like a fundamental observation or anything like that where it's, you can definitely take, because there's no bourbon, so it's not the barrel age taking, barrel flavors taking over like that. It's more just like you said, like that smoky wood flavor.
Yeah, I mean, I think it. I only had one vanilla bean, so I needed, I think, at least one more vanilla bean, and then I think during the boil, maybe one or two more sticks of cinnamon, and then I think another week with the wood infuser, I think would have been. I think that's the next adjustment.
What if you threw like some cinnamon and vanilla in the infuser?
Oh, when oh well, the infuser is just like a piece of wood that has like a spiral like bound to it. You can't put it in there.
Oh, so
So.
you put the wood into the beer? I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah,
I
it's.
guess when you're doing the infusing process.
Yeah, 'cause that's where I added the vanilla is I put it in after during like the second fermentation. Oh, you know what I did? That's what I remember. I put the wood in, because again, I didn't have that much time. I put the wood infuser into the primary fermenter, so it actually has 2 weeks with the wood, because it had, because the wood piece was in there while it was, which was risky because typically, you want there to be alcohol before you start adding things to the beer, so.
Right.
So it did have 2 weeks with the wood infuser.
Do you know any of the stats on the beer?
Yeah, it came out to seven. I think it was 6.5, 7.5 ABV.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, it had a pretty solid body too, from what I saw. So I think the So, but I mean, I thought it was probably one of my more favorite stouts or porters to really kind of get brewed. I think it's just very easy to drink. It could be maybe a little thicker. I could have added, I mean, I think the body I think could be a little bit thicker. So it could have added some other malt to it to kind of help with the body. But I really do like the amount of oatmeal that I put into it.
Yeah, it is very good, and it's very dark. Like you can't, like holding it up to like the sun, you can't see any of the anything. You can't see even any light through it. It does have kind of a lighter body, but that's not necessarily a downfall. It still has a good flavor to it.
I feel like it's like a sweet summertime stout.
Yes, I was gonna say it's almost too easy to drink if that's 7-ish percent.
Well, you got two bombers, so.
Yes.
I was like, if I'm sending beer, I might as well make sure it's a nice big bottle.
Yeah, it's a yeah. You're. I'll have to save the bottle and give it to your brother.
Fair enough. I did get to use my new beer gun from Christmas to do the bottles. Man, dude, the beer gun. I think it's pretty nice, man. It
Who
made
got you the
in
gun?
my Faja.
So, I don't think I ever told you this little secret, Sean.
What?
You know how we did that, like, gift ideas for brewers at home?
Yeah.
Your dad asked me to figure out what you wanted for Christmas, so that was my way to tell him.
Wow. I feel like it's a, this whole thing is a
I'm pretty slick, huh?
scam.
And as you were like talking about the beer gun and where to get it and the name of the website, I found the thing and I sent that to him.
No, look at you, Mr. Sneaky.
I'm actually quite proud of myself on that one, that like you never figured that out, that was like nobody gives a shit about what you think, Sean, about brewing. I just wanted to find out what your dad was going to get you for Christmas.
That's funny. That's too funny. But I mean, the beer gun is pretty nice to use, though. To be honest, after like trying to bottle like a caveman through like random hoses and trying to do it right through the tap and stuff, it's just yeah. The beer gun is just so much easier for bottling.
Do you feel a little dirty knowing the secret is out, with the secret being out, Sean?
I feel used and abused.
But that was pretty clever of me, you must admit.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you do something
good. I have a good idea every once in a while, and it's only taken me, like, 6 months to reveal that I had one good idea 6 months ago. That's how rarely they happen, that I want to pat myself on the back for a good idea that happened 6 months ago.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Cheers to 150.
Cheers.
So can we stop now? Have we done enough damage?
to both our your parents and your pride?
Exactly.
Oh, man. So, you know, last week, Sean, you know, now that I got through patting myself for my good idea, I need to correct an error that I made in last week's episode.
What was it?
I mentioned that a beer, Black is Beautiful, and I said that a brewery in Long Beach was making it. Mm-hmm. And I hope that maybe it would become like a national thing, kind of like the All Together or the Resilience beer did, so to raise money. Well, I was wrong on one account and unsure of the second. So the brewery that made it wasn't a brewery in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. They're just the first one that I saw on social media that somebody credited for making their version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the name of the brewery that made it is Weathered Souls Brewing, and they're based in San Antonio, Texas.
Gotcha.
And so they have the Black is Beautiful initiative, and it is a nationwide thing. And so, like, a couple other breweries, local breweries, like the most recent one that I saw that announced they're brewing theirs and it's supposed to come out in like a week or so is Bottle Logic.
Oh, nice.
And then the money, you know, like, you can basically, like, you make the beer, they'll give you, like, they'll provide you the recipe, the artwork, the label, you know, for the label, which looks like a pretty, like, a puzzle of, like, different shades of black and brown.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically you donate it to whatever cause you seem fit that fits in the jurisdiction of, you know, either the bail funds or Black Lives Matters or the NAACP, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just pretty funny in a sad way, like reading the there's this Instagram page that I follow, Worst Beer Blog. And he had somebody private message him, and it's like, you know, I came here to – I follow this page for beer, not drama. And it's like, dude, that's all this guy posts is like beer drama. And sometimes – like he even admits sometimes he posts things to stir up drama, and sometimes he posts things just because he thinks it's funny. But it's his page, so he can post whatever he wants.
Well, he does. That is true.
So he was posting some of the comments on the Bottle Logic's post about the Black is Beautiful beer, just how many people were like, you know, saying that they wanted to keep politics out of beer. And it's like, since when is, you know, people are like, since when is like making, you know, making sure everyone is treated equally a political thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just pretty funny. Like the amount of clap back on them. And then real quick, apparently NASCAR has banned the Confederate flag from all of its events. And one driver announced his retirement at the end of the season because they're taking away the flag of his people, as he put it in his words. To which the official NASCAR Twitter account replied to him, we had to Google who you were. I'm sure your dozens of fans will be devastated that you're leaving. You'd rather retire than to give up your participation trophy.
I did see that. That was pretty funny. You know, the Confederate flag makes me really, it makes me laugh, because if you went to any other country and you like posted a flag from a civil war, you'd probably be like arrested for treason. But it's like here, it's like no big deal.
Right. You know, and then like when, you know, during Barack Obama, you know, when he was like running and trying to like, you know, they were saying that he's like trying to not be racist, and the conservatives are like, no, the Democrats were the most racist of all. As a matter of fact, the Confederates were all Democrats. And the Democrats are like, oh, cool. So if the Confederates were Democrats and these monuments and flags and all that are all symbols of Democratic hate, we're just going to take them down. And then all of a sudden the conservatives are like, oh, no, you can't do that because they're a symbol of my heritage. And it's like, wait, I thought it was Democratic, racist Democrats that made it. How is it conservative heritage? And also, why the fuck do people in Michigan fly the flag if it's Southern heritage?
Well, funny story. So if you go, if you're trying to go through to 29 Palms, you could definitely find some random hillbilly cities out there that have giant Confederate flags out there in California. So it's everywhere. I think I think even somebody was like, yeah, somebody has a Confederate flag, and they're like, one was in Canada, one was like in Scotland. It's like, Scotland? Why is there a Confederate flag out there?
Yeah, I don't remember what side of the Civil War the Scotland fought on.
I need to go back and do my history lessons, man. Why can't I figure out what side Scotland supported?
Right, and then somebody tweeted,
I feel like they got their own problems going on with England to worry about us.
Right, it's like, you can. It's cool to wave a Confederate flag in Scotland, but you better not wave the British flag, because then you're an asshole.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that guy ain't got any balls, man. Fucking fly that England flag. Let's see how what that gets you. What a pansy.
Right, and somebody tweeted, it was like, if taking down, you know, statues of Confederate soldiers bothers you, you're either A, a racist, or B, a pigeon.
I just imagine the pigeon's like, no, why? That was my favorite spot to hang out.
That was my favorite dude to shit on. And then people are talking about how, like, the Confederacy only lasted, like, 5 years, so people are, like, comparing things that have lasted longer. Like, someone's like, Pokemon Go has lasted longer than the Confederacy, and it's brought more people together.
Oh.
But, yeah, so all the people talking about, like, they want to keep politics out of beer. Apparently that also, like, those same people also, like, never read lyrics to the music they listened to growing up. So people now are attacking Tom Morello and from Rage Against the Machine, and Serj Tankian from System of a Down, because they're like posting political stuff on their social media, and they're like, hey, if we just want to listen to your music, we don't want to listen to your politics. And both of them are like, did you actually listen to my music?
Yeah, put on some lipstick. Yeah, woo.
Rage Against the Machine literally has a song saying that the police are members of the KKK. And that came out that was like on their first album. It wasn't like this week.
Yeah, but, you know, cool lyrics and stuff, man. Like, yeah.
Or it just sounds cool. Like, because, yeah. Looking back, I was thinking about it. I was talking to somebody about this, and I was looking back. I remember all, the baseball bros that fucking loved, Rage Against the Machine in high school. And, K-Rock, because K-Rock even played Killing in the Name, and that was, one of the regular rotation songs for a while.
Yes.
I mean, they had to edit out, the last half of the song. They just stopped it, at the midpoint. But yeah, apparently Rage Against the Machine and System of a Down have gotten political out of nowhere all of a sudden. Just this in the last week or two.
Beep, 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 beep. Breaking news.
Exactly. And so like when Trump got elected or early on in his presidency, Tom Morello posted a picture of him with his guitar, the back facing the picture. And he had wrote fuck Trump on it. And I can't remember what was written on his shirt, but it was something else. And someone was like, oh, just because it's another musician that thinks just because he can play a guitar, he can talk about politics. To which Tom Morello replied, you know, it doesn't take a master's degree in political science from Harvard to know that Trump is an asshole. But I also happen to have a master's degree in political science from Harvard.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
Yes, it's like when Mayim Bialik, better known as Blossom, but when she came on the Big Bang Theory, and they asked her, it's like, well, did you have a hard time learning all these scientific terms? And she was like, well, I did, but that was when I was in school earning my degree to learn them.
Right. Oh, man. But I was going to say, the recipe, though, for Black is Beautiful pretty straightforward. It seems pretty straightforward.
I wanted to talk about that. Yes, you're right.
No, I mean, it's just some pale malt, flaked oat. I think it's interesting. They did 20%, which is typically what they recommend when you do oat. When you add oats, it's around that 20% mark. No, your chocolate malt, flaked barley. I thought the flaked barley was interesting. I've never used flaked barley before. So that one was the one that kind of threw me off. And then they have corn sugar on here. So part of the reason why they have corn sugar in here is probably just to amp up the OG. So that way they could get more alcohol. Because corn sugar, it's literally just, you know, a pound of straight, in this recipe, it says a pound of corn sugar. So it's just literally just in there to probably knock up the ABV, quite a bit. But part of what I've read, cause I've always thought about doing this, before too, like if after I brew and I don't like my original gravity, to add sugar to it to get more to ABV I wanted. But I guess you if you do too much, it makes it to where it ruins the flavor of the beer, because I think it just adds way too much to it, because you don't get that natural taste to it. So.
Right, and you know, one thing I kind of find interesting is their estimated alcohol by volume was 8.7, but their actual final was only 4.7.
That is true. It's what I'm assuming is their estimate is probably went through a computer system, and then through the execution, that's what they got, which is kind of disappointing that the beer would really be a 4.7%.
Right. I mean, because they also have their they don't only have the ingredients, but then they have tell you how to cook it, basically, like the hop schedule, the grain bill, the mash temperature.
Yeah.
And they basically said this recipe was developed to highlight the different hues and shades of black. Our recipe is only a guideline, and please feel free to adjust as needed based on your system needs. Everyone knows their water profile is best, so we will also leave that up to you. In Texas, we have very hard water. So we personally use RO and add calcium chloride and calcium sulfate to adjust the parts per million of calcium.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically, the calcium chloride and the calcium sulfate, does that make the water softer?
Yeah, that's one. That's part of. I haven't really dove into the water system, but if you go back to the origins of beers, typically where the origin of the beer is from, you could kind of tell what water they had, because back in the day they didn't have all this fancy tools to make the water soft or hard. So basically they just brewed more of what was in the area. So it's like one of those things where it's like it helps your beer, but it doesn't like necessarily like take away from the beer. You know, if you brew something that should be more soft water versus hard water, because I just brew with, you know, tap water. I don't add stuff. I haven't never done a measurement to say what is the, you know, what is what in it. So it's always one of those things where it's like you can make a good beer, but then like if you start dialing in the water, you could go from like kind of more good to great kind of idea. That's kind of like the thought process. And part of like people that are chasing like a certain taste, and once you get like a distinctive taste in your beer, like it's always like, you know, it was part of Bell's Brewing. They outgrew their original brew house, and so they said when they relocated, they wanted to use the same water because they wanted to make sure that, you know, the Two Hearted Ale was always going to be brewed with the same water to keep that same distinctive taste. So they actually bought a second building and they in the area where it, they could have the same water source. So it's, so when you get to, I think a higher scale, I think it makes a lot more sense to be testing your water.
Right. And same thing with, like Stone Brewing, when they, I went on the tour as they were kind of getting ready to open their Virginia facility that's now closed, but they said that they had people out there for at least a year before they opened, or even before they started brewing, to like test the water and figure out the water profiles and stuff like that to adjust the recipes based on the water in Virginia versus the water in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a big deal. So Stone did shut down that brewery?
Yes.
Wow. That's crazy.
I mean, it's been shut down for a while. I think like almost everybody that opened in Virginia shut down.
Oh, wow. What happened? Just not enough sales to govern keeping it open?
I think so. I know for sure they closed the Germany one, but like, yeah, it wasn't like working out. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, when you try to go both coasts and it's like, maybe you can just stay on this coast. You're good.
I do feel like that is, one of the downfalls of being a microbrew is I think there's a lot of like local bias. Like people typically will want to buy local more than out of state.
Right. Because I mean, there comes a point where like, if you're going to every grocery store you go to, not necessarily like going to like all the Wegmans, like you can go to one Wegmans and then this different one. But like going to like a Wegmans or a Stater Brothers in Southern California or an Albertsons or a Ralph's or whatever else you have, and you see like the same brands of beers, like you see Stone or you see, you know, and it kind of takes away from the fact that it's like you start thinking, well, it's like, wait, maybe these guys aren't microbrews or craft brews and they don't really need my help as much as like, you know.
Yeah.
Like Founders or Bell's or any of that, where it's like you can go anywhere in the country practically at a grocery store and find at least a couple of their beers sitting on a shelf, like the Two Hearted.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things I do, I agree. I feel like some of it too is like you only get like limited selection, so it's like you only get like their Stone's IPA. You know, you could find Stone almost everywhere out here still, even without them here. But I feel like it's just kind of like, you know, of like that brewery, like even though like even when I was living in Toledo, like people knew who Founders was, they knew who Bell's was because it was like a local beer that you could go it wasn't local, but you could go travel to. And you know, I think that's part of like the connection, because honestly, like, you know, my girlfriend was very on top of and even I was like a big Founders fan until all the drama came out with how they were treating their employees. And now it's like, you know, now we just don't even like acknowledge them. But before it was like, dude, we always bought their stuff, you know, traveling. We made sure to stop there to get beer if we were, like, traveling that area. So it's kind of like, I think, one of those things where even out here, like, you know, people talk about Cape May Brewing all the time. They talk about some of the Philadelphia ones. But, you know, like, a lot of people, you know, drink Cape May because, you know, it's a big New Jersey beer, so...
Right, and like for like Stone, like it's cool. Like if I go to like La Bodega, I'm not necessarily gonna buy Stone. But if I'm going somewhere and I can't stop at like a small bottle shop, and but I'm at a grocery store, then that's maybe when like Stone will come into play or something like that. Where it's like, all right, at least I'm not buying like a major like macro brewery. I'm buying like a macro craft brewery as opposed to a macro brewery.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, yeah, so, but be on the lookout. There should be, the Black is Beautiful beer should be coming out, like, this month into, like, the beginning of next month, it seems like, with the brew schedule that is happening.
Fair enough. I mean, I won't brew it now, but maybe I'll brew it after I get these, porters out of the way. Because I do have another one. I added some peanuts and some raspberry, too, to kind of make a peanut butter jelly. Stout, so we'll see.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
We'll see.
I almost poured myself a shot of Screwball. And then, like, if your beer was garbage, I could just throw the Screwball in there and at least have some have some good flavor.
Wow. Thanks, man. Thanks.
But I had that much confidence in you. It was just a thought of, like, well, part of it, too, was, like, worried about the travel, because it was, like, 100 degrees when you sent it.
Yeah, that is the only thing I definitely get concerned about traveling in the summer months, is that it's definitely a lot hotter on your side.
Yes. And so, you know, the day it arrived, it was, like, a lot cooler, but that by a lot cooler, it was only, like, 88 instead of, like, 100.
Yeah.
So, that's why I was more just worried that maybe, like, the sun damaged it. But when I poured it... and I saw that it, you know, foamed up nice and it seemed to have a good carb on it, then I'm like, all right, it'll be good. Oh, man. So there's been some drama in the comic industry, Sean.
Drama.
For your
drama,
mama.
Yeah, yeah. Save it for your llama. I don't need no drama. I don't know where I'm going with that.
I don't either, Sean. I was just going to let you go until you decided you were done.
I'm done.
You're done? Okay, good. So, for people who aren't aware, basically, if you own a comic book store, everything you get, whether it's action figures, comics, board games, trading cards, anything, you have to order through a distribution company called Diamond.
Diamond Comics.
Diamonds aren't forever, apparently. So, this last week, DC... and I forgot they were bought out. Warner Brothers was bought out. Like, the Time Warner Company was purchased by somebody. I can't remember who it is now, but...
Wasn't it AT&T?
I believe so, you're right. That was on my... Like, as I was saying, I don't remember who it was. I was like, I think it's AT&T, but... We could do research, but that's not our style. Even 150 episodes later.
We have a no-follow-up question policy on this show.
Yes. You know, I listen to a bunch of podcasts, and a couple of them have that policy, and it seems to work well for them, too. So why not, you know, copy good ideas, not just bad things.
I feel like we came up with that idea a long time ago, like on episode 6 or 7 or I don't know.
1.
Yeah. When I started drilling you in questions, you're like, dude, stop.
I don't know, man. I just know what I know.
You bastard.
It's like my wife. It's like, hey, this thing happened. What about this? What about that? I'm like, dude, I just know that this thing happened. Like literally, I'm reading the same. I'm showing you what I just read. But so DC Comics announced that they are breaking their partnership with Diamond Distribution, and they're going to split up between two distribution companies, one for the East Coast and one for the West Coast. And it's just fun reading the comments and the different letters, angry letters written to DC by different comic writers or publishers, including Image Comics decided to weigh in. and basically call DC psychopathic, like their decision to leave like psychopathic.
I mean, I would say that, I mean, maybe they were working on it way behind, you know, behind the scenes and getting things set up. So, but I mean, I don't know. Like, everything I've heard is that Diamond sucks because they're a monopoly and they really don't care. I've seen, like, the way they box stuff and stuff. Like, stuff always came in, like, damaged and whatnot. I mean, it's just, I don't know, I'm not really, like, surprised that somebody had to make the move to get away from Diamond, because I think, you know, Diamond was the only source, so they controlled everything. So it's kind of like, you know, I read the article about the Denver Comics, like, guy, like, saying how he feels bad for his friend at Diamond Comics, you know, the big CEO, you know, let him pat his eyes out with $100 bills. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, it wasn't, I mean, I'm sure Denver was saying that because they buy so much stuff that they probably get, like, top-of-the-line treatment.
Right. They probably have, like, multiple Diamond representatives that they could, like, have at their beck and call 24 hours a day. Versus, like, the comic book store that we met at Players, where it's, like, he gets damage, and then he's, like, oh, yeah, like, I didn't have enough, I got shorted on these books, or I didn't, they were damaged, and now I'm just waiting for a reply for them to, like, find out when they're going to send me the replacements.
Yeah, it's, like, here's the originals, and then, like, he gets, like, the second printed. It's, like, all right, thanks, bro. Like, 2 months, bye. 3 months later.
One of the things that confused me was, like, the variants. Like, I was reading, a guy was like, yeah, you know, I got these, like, store incentive variants that were supposed to be, like, super limited, and they came in damaged, and I, like, got replacements with the same variants, and it's like, how limited are they if they can just replace them?
That is true.
But then, I went to the comic book store in Orange County this weekend, and I was, like, kind of looking around, and I just happened to, like, bump into one of the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of just talking, and then it popped in my head. I'm like, oh, yeah, ask him about this. So I asked him what his thoughts were. And he's like, I don't really care who distributes the comics. He's like, I know Diamond sucks, but the company that DC's replacing them with sucks just as bad. Like, you still get damages, and it's even harder to get a hold of somebody at the new company.
Wow.
And but then he said the thing that sucks too is, like, the one thing that Diamond did that was super helpful was for the pull lists. Like, basically, you could go on Diamond's, like, website or whatever you use as a store owner and print up a page that has every book coming out that week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can, like, have it, and you can, like the comic, like, the store that you worked at, he put on a clipboard, and you can write, if you already don't have it on your pull list, you can write your initials next to it, and they'll pull it for you.
That's actually something that you don't have to be a store owner to have access to. If you go to diamondcomics.com, if you navigate through there, there is a way to check, because I was able to do that even after I left the comic book store to see what was coming out.
But it's a very useful tool, but especially if you own a comic book store, because you have one page where you have everything coming out, so you can, like, you know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're putting together people's pulls, the loyal customers that say, hey, pull these books for me, and I'll come and get them when I can, it's very helpful. But he said that as of June 1st, when DC is whenever they announced the date, maybe it's July 1st,
mm-hmm.
they announced that they were leaving, then DC is going to wipe, the Diamond is going to wipe all DC books off their database.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him now, like, he can still go to Diamond to get the pull list and put together all the pulls for his customers, but now he has to do every Diamond pull by, like, he has to go through everybody's pull list, see what they get from DC, and pull it one by one. He said he has 400 customers that have a pull list with him.
Hmm.
And he said, so it's going to take extra time, and now he might have to, like, cancel the pull list discount that he gives. Makes me think of that meme where
I'm super confused. So wait, because it's not on the Diamond list, it's going to take him extra time?
That because like it was all in one place versus now he has to go to Diamond to get he can go to Diamond and get the DC and Image and Boom and Dynamite and whatever else.
Yeah.
And then he has to go put together by hand basically the DC list. So I mean that's at least that's what he said. I don't know. I've never owned a comic book store or worked in one to know that whether or not like it's that big of a deal, but he made it seem like it was gonna add a couple extra hours a week onto his putting together people's pulls with the amount of people that he has on it.
Yeah. To me, it's just like, it didn't make that much big of a deal because we had people's list anyway. So you would grab their list and go through and grab everything that they need that they always had on file. So it was kind of like, it was nice to know what was coming, but yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested to see. I guess it would be more on how he uses it, and maybe there is something. I don't know. I'm not that guy. I'm not gonna judge him. I haven't walked a mile in his shoes.
I was gonna say, you're not used to working at a comic book store that has that many customers.
Something like that.
Is that shots fired?
Shots fired? I think so. Shots.
I mean, it's not like he listens either.
That's true. That's true. It is what it is.
It is. Oh man. So they finally, I don't know about finally, but they, they're finally releasing trailers for movies, Sean. And so this week they released the trailer for the third installment of the Bill and Ted movie. Did you watch it?
No, I did not. I haven't even watched any of the movies.
You haven't?
No.
I even sent you the trailer to make it easy for you.
Probably got distracted. But I haven't even seen. I know what the movies are about, but yeah, I haven't seen any of the movies.
So basically, quick summary of the movies is there are these two like high school like drop like not necessarily dropouts, but just like these two like hot fit like high school losers that are in a band and like they have somebody come from the future or come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically tells them that they end up forming a band called Wild Stallions, and they write the song that brings the world together as one. And like basically, like they end their song ends war, ends world hunger, and just like everybody's just cool with each other. And that's like, you know, they're like things like be excellent to each other. And so, like, the first movie, like, they need to, like, do a history report or else they'll fail. And so they go, like, they use the phone booth time machine to go back in time and get, like, all these different historical figures. And then, of course, you know, when they come back to the present, they get loose and they have to, like, chase them down and stuff. And so in the new movie, it seems like that they've been playing for 25 years and they still haven't – they get called by the people that in the future, like, the tribunal that's in charge in the future – and they're like, yeah, you guys were supposed to write this song. They were supposed to like, you're supposed to play a concert in front of the literal entire world and bring everyone together. It's like last week you played in Barstow for like 20 people and they were all pretty much there for $2 taco night. So it's called Bill and Ted Face the Music. So it just seems like they have to figure out what they did wrong, why they haven't written the song, and shenanigans I'm sure will ensue.
Does Keanu kill anybody?
It doesn't seem like it, but he does have his John Wick haircut.
I mean, he definitely looks... it's just weird, because I can't picture like Keanu Reeves as like trying to be in a funny movie anymore.
Right? His angry, sad killer movies?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, but it's just kind of nice. Like slowly started getting new trailers, but then it's like their movie theaters are kind of slowly announcing that they're opening, and then it's like maybe not. So like Wonder Woman got pushed back again.
Oh boy.
And like they're starting to open up drive-in theaters in random places. I guess they're opening a drive-in theater, like a pop-up drive-in theater that's only there on the weekends or whatever, in one of the parking lots at the Ontario Airport.
Wait a minute, they're doing it at the Ontario Airport?
One of the parking lots, yes.
What the... They just don't need that parking space anymore, huh?
Well, right now, because nobody's flying. So, but then it was kind of messed up because there's this movie coming out called The King of Staten Island, and it's supposed to be Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live is supposed to be like semi-biographical story of his life, and they said that they were going to like have it shown at so many drive-in theaters, and like literally the day before like the theaters were supposed to show the movie, the studio came in and goes like, wait, whoa, 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 this is only supposed to be on demand only, not shown at theaters. Sorry, you can't do it. And the theaters are like, but we already pre-sold tickets, and we're like, ah, sucks to be you. It's not our problem.
Oh boy.
And so now, like the theater drive-in theater owners are like having to deal with pissed off customers because it's like, well, we bought tickets to go see this movie, and it's like, we sold tickets. Like, who do you think? We're pissed off too. Like,
These people are crazy. I bought a ticket for a movie and I better be there. I'm gonna be there and that movie better show, or else I'm gonna sue. I'm gonna call my lawyer Jerry and he's gonna get on them.
exactly. Oh man, they should be more like me, Sean, and just watch movies at home. Get the Netflix, get, bring back the Netflix DVDs. It's like a Mean Girl. Stop trying to make Netflix DVDs happen. It's not gonna happen. Oh man, but I watched this movie with Jennifer Garner called Peppermint, and it's kind of like a different telling it's, to me. Like as I'm watching, I'm like, wait, this is almost like Batman. In a way, because like she's like a mom and has a she has you know a husband and her daughter who's like turning 8, and so they go to this amusement park and her husband's kind of mixed up with like the wrong crowd and he ends up getting the husband and daughter end up getting killed in a drive-by for revenge for something that he like was like kind of a. Grouped in with the people that did it, even though he turned them down. But the guy that was in charge of like ordering the hit didn't hear that he turned him down. He just heard that he was, part of the group. And so then she like disappeared for like 5 years and came back and they come to find out she was like training to like, she was like boxing and like doing like underground boxing and stuff like that. And so she's come back to like get revenge on the people that killed her family. So it's like a mix of like Batman and like the Punisher.
She's here to clean up and leave peppermints around.
Yes.
She's gonna make the bed and leave a peppermint patty there.
And actually, the movie's called Peppermint because that's the daughter's favorite flavor of ice cream, apparently.
That's a fucking random reference.
Yes. Because they're like at the thing, they're like, the daughter wants ice cream, and it's like,
She's like,
well, what do you want?
is she
She's like,
eating
well.
her peppermint ice cream as she gets shot by the drive-by? Like, Mommy, it
Yeah.
hurts, but I can't stop.
Well, she's eating it as she gets shot, but then once she gets shot, she stops eating it because she's dead. But it was like, it's a surprisingly good movie. The action isn't like we're like, oh yeah, Jennifer Gardner couldn't do this. Like they filmed the fight scenes and stuff, and it felt brutal. Like she gets hurt, and it's not like the next scene she's fine, And but there's like a part where it's like something happens, and I'm like, oh. The movie should be wrapping up soon, and I look and it's like, oh, there's another 30 minutes. I'm like, how the hell can they fit another 30 minutes out of this movie? And then I watch it, and I'm like, oh,
That's how.
that's exactly how they could fit another 30 minutes in this movie.
Boom in your face, bitch.
Exactly. And then I watched this Ben Affleck movie called The Way Back.
It's ironic that you watched a Jennifer Gardner and Ben Affleck
Ben
movies.
movie?
Are
Back to
you just
back?
trying to
I
bring them
know.
back?
Bennifer? Stop trying to make Bennifer happen. It's not going to happen. So basically, this movie is like almost made hit a little too close to Ben Affleck's life, except it's not filmed. I don't think it's filmed in Boston. Like Boston Man movie, where it's like 8 different Boston accents and the Boston cop and the Boston dude that says bro a lot. But basically, the story is that he was like a high school basketball prodigy. That kind of fell away from the game and started became an alcoholic, and he's going through like a divorce, and he ends up getting called up by the bishop at the school because he went to a private like religious school, so he gets called up and it's like, hey, we need a new coach because our coach had to have surgery and it's like an emergency, and he's like, yeah, I can't do it. And they show him, like, drinking just beer after beer, like, practicing his phone call to turn it down. Except he ends up accepting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I wasn't necessarily going to talk about this movie. Because it's slow, but it's good. It's because it doesn't have the happy ending,
yeah,
necessarily. And reading the reviews on Netflix, it's either, like, this movie sucks because I wanted a happy ending and it didn't have the happy ending, or there's nothing original about this, it's boring and predictable. And it's like, wait, how can it be boring and predictable if it didn't have the happy ending that, you know, other people are complaining it didn't have? Because, ultimately, I mean, it's like, it's not about basketball, right? Like, it's a basketball movie. It's not about basketball. It's about him dealing with his alcoholism and the kids dealing with whatever they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And basketball to the backdrop. So, I mean, if you want to watch, like, a serious drama type movie of people, like, learning about themselves. But, let's see, it was one of the best reviews. Like, Ben Affleck used to be a good actor. Maybe the booze has impaired him. This movie reminds me of his brother Casey's movies. Poor acting, slow and long periods of nothing happening, a way too much overemphasized alcohol problems. This could have been a good movie if Ben hadn't tried to act like Casey and it was shorter.
Wow. Damn, that ain't even right.
It's like, well, Ben Affleck is a good actor. Not great, just good. And he does a fine job here. The film itself is a big nothing, in my honest opinion. It's depressing. No real redemption at the end. Slow and boring. Not one likable character and storyline that at times was confusing, which I don't understand how it can be confusing unless you're drunker than he is. Who are these people? His sister? His wife? It's pretty much, if you follow, one is his sister and one of his wife. You know?
They just can't keep track of who's who.
Right, apparently all white people look alike. Which, I mean, to be fair,
Gecko would agree with that.
What's that?
Gecko would agree with that statement.
I don't know, he can't say that anymore, he's officially an American. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah!
It's like, extremely depressing movie which has the most inappropriate and inaccurate title. Your one chance to smile comes about three quarters of the way through. Great movie to see to ruin your day. And it's like, it's not called He Found His Way Back. It's called The Way Back. It's like, I don't know if you remember this movie called The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston, another part of Bennifer.
Yes.
Well, actually, with Brad Pitt in her. So it was like a Bennifer with Brad Pitt in her. But Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn, yes. You've seen it?
I have seen it.
So people were pissed about that movie because they didn't get back together at the end of the movie.
But it's called The Breakup.
Fucking exactly. It's not called let's have some arguments to get back together. It's called The Breakup.
I'm sick and tired of these motherfucking people and their motherfucking happy endings. Life ain't happy. If you ain't got a happy life, I don't know, go fix that shit. Don't criticize movies inappropriately. I pity you, fool.
Not every story needs to have a happy ending, especially movies. Like, you can't. It's called The Breakup. It's not called, hey, let's get back together at the end of the movie after being, because they're basically assholes to each other the whole movie.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like that. The Way Back. It's not like, hey, I found my way back. It's the way. You know.
Exactly.
So, speaking of not finding full redemption, Sean, Sony decided to. You know, after postponing their initial, like, date for their reveal of the PS5, they hosted it this week.
Yeah, they did. And did they drop a bomb? Like, boom. I think, I think the console and I think the controller look pretty nice. I know people like to make stupid jokes about it, but they do that with every console, so I feel
like... Well, they also hated it.
Yeah. They hate everything. People are just bitches. Like, who fucking cares? Like, nobody's talking about how the PS4 looks anymore.
Well, I found this. Somebody made a thing, and it was talking, and it had, like, the most popular complaints about all the PlayStation systems.
Mm-hmm.
So, when PlayStation 1 came out, the biggest complaint was, it looks like a toy. When PlayStation 2, the fat version, first came out, it looks like a VCR. When PlayStation 3, it looks like a barbecue grill. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 4, it looks like an eraser, and PlayStation 5, it looks like a router.
You know, if that's the only thing you have to complain about your game system, then maybe you should be pretty fucking happy.
Yes. Well, and they also complained that they didn't give all the information. And it's like, dude, fucking let they, this wasn't about, like, giving all the information. They just they gave what they wanted to give, which was what it looked like and a shitload of games.
Man, dude, if all the – man, I'm super excited for Horizon Forbidden West. Like, that is, like, the game that I'm just like, fuck yeah, time to play.
So I'm just gonna know the answer to this question, so I'm gonna ask it anyways and then answer it. Did you watch the supercut of all the trailers? No? Cool. Let's move on.
Hey, look, I looked at an article already and I picked the videos I wanted to watch, and then you sent me that like 5 days later. So
Gecko did send it like 3 days before, but I resent it just in case you didn't see it.
No, I did my own research. I only looked at what I wanted to.
Well, I want to go through real quick. There's a couple games that I'm sure you didn't look at.
Mm-hmm.
That are actually, like, pretty good. So there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 games that they had trailers for.
Yep.
Total. So I'm going to just kind of go in order real quick on the order they had on there. So, and just give our thoughts. If you saw it, yes, you can give your thoughts. If not, then I'll just give mine. So the Spider-Man, Miles Morales.
No, I thought it was a very short trailer. It was interesting that it was going to be Miles. I assume this is going to be more, I almost feel like there's a trap coming where this is going to be basically the Spider-Man game, but with like a different character and more stupid shit to do with it. Like a lot of stupid side quests and a decent and a good main story. So, I mean, I don't know. It didn't really give off enough to really warrant.
Most of these were like basically teaser trailers. There was only like one or two that had what seemed like gameplay footage.
Yeah.
But they announced that the Spider-Man game is going, the Miles Morales game isn't going to be a sequel, and it's not necessarily an expansion. It's like kind of like how they have like Wolfenstein, then Wolfenstein New Blood, and then they had the one come out where it was like his twin daughters, but it wasn't quite a full sequel, but it continued the story.
Yeah.
Game. So it's going to be like a standalone game, but not a full sequel.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, because like right now Miles Morales is the main Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, gotcha.
After they, like, dissolved the Ultimate Universe and they had, like, basically the most recent Secret Wars, and they pulled some of the people from the Ultimate Universe into the 616.
Hmm.
The next one was a Square Enix one. It's called Project Athia.
Which looks pretty good. The gameplay looked pretty interesting. I thought the combat looked pretty fun to play. I don't know. It's just Square Enix, so I mean, I do want to play the game at the end of the day, but it's kind of like, what are we getting ourselves into with this game? But I mean, it does look pretty fun, though.
Well, I was gonna say, for me, they didn't really show much information, and then when they said like Project Athia, and then they had like a little asterisk next to it, and it's like, oh yeah, by the way, this might not be the final title of the game either. Because they said it was a working title, so basically that's like the development title. They might change the name of it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then why reveal it if you're not even sure?
Who knows? Probably because like the game's probably getting close to being done, or it's probably over halfway done or something. They just want to get like, hey, look, Square Enix is even doing a game for this.
Right. And then the next one was Ratchet and Clank. Did you ever play any of the Ratchet and Clank games?
No, I didn't. I never played it. I assume it's just another adventure game. I just never got into it.
And then the next one was just weird to me. And like, if I can get it like dirt cheap, I'll probably play it just because it sounds weird. It's just it seems like it's just based on a stray cat, and it's just called Stray. The next one is called Returnal, which I fucking hate that title. Like, why can't that be the working title? Because at least Project Athia sounds better.
Yeah.
Like, even if they just come out and call it Athia instead of Project Athia.
Yeah.
But like, Returnal looked really good. Did you watch the trailer for this one?
Which, what was the game producer?
I can't remember the producer, but it was the game where she, it was like a woman pilot, and it's like, she talks about how she's like, I keep reliving the same moment of her like entering the planet, crash landing on the planet, and then dying.
No, I didn't watch this one then. The other one I watched was the Bethesda,
Deathloop.
I guess that would be it then. That Kung yes. Fu one.
Maybe. I don't know if that was Deathloop, but there's two time loop games on this in this thing. The next one is Destruction All-Stars, which basically is like a destruction, like a demolition derby racing type game with like hazards that you have to drive through that looks like it could be a lot of fun, especially if you're like, if you can split screen it or play online with other people.
Okay.
It's kind of like Twisted Metal without the weapons. Instead of having weapons, like there's like saws going across the track that you have to drive through and things. And then at some point the people were running, so I don't know if it's a thing of like you have to finish the race no matter what. So if your car gets exploded, then you can run and finish the race.
Mm-hmm.
but it looked pretty fun. And then there's a game called Kena: Bridge of Spirits. That it was like you were playing a girl and she had like magical powers and she had to like use like water and stuff and fight against like monsters. To me, it seemed kind of like someone wanted to make a game that looked like a Horizon Zero Dawn. It looked similar to it, like even the way like the camera perspective and the land and stuff. But it's like I want a game like that, but make it different.
Mm-hmm.
But it still looked pretty fun. Like it looked like a game I would want to play. 2K21, standard basketball game, which, you know, are they even going to be able to have a new basketball game for next season if they don't know for this season?
True, right?
another game called Solar Ash. I don't know, like, I have no idea what's going on. That's a trailer where it's like, it just was enough to make me want to, like, watch more trailers of the game or read more into it as opposed to want to play it.
Yeah.
Demon's Souls. I don't know. It looked pretty awesome, but I think everything on the system looked awesome. So I'm not going to keep saying that over and over again.
Right.
I mean, it just looked the Village. Did you watch that? The Resident Evil 7 or 8?
No, I didn't watch it.
I was watching this and I'm like, what game is this? And it was like, went through the whole trailer and then at the end it was like The Village. And I'm like, okay, I still don't know what that was. And then they cut out like, they blocked out some of the letters, so then it did 7. And then, like, one of the Resident Evil, like, standard characters, like, made an appearance. And it's like, oh, shit, I forgot there was a new Resident Evil game coming out. and then, as we mentioned before, Deathloop. It looked like you're, like, a dude that has, like, a bounty on his head, and you have to kill the people before they kill you. And if you die, then you start over again.
Yeah.
And keep repeating until you figure it out. Little Devil Inside. I don't know. It looked interesting. Nothing special. But like you said, Horizon Forbidden West, man, that game. I know I said I was going to say it, but this game looks amazing. Like, there's like the part where like the little crab or whatever was like poking at the dead fish, and it just looked like gross in the right way.
Yeah. No, I mean, it definitely looked pretty clean, so.
They got Ashley Burch and Lance Reddick back to reprise their roles and their voices. As I was watching this, I was, you know, I'm like, do I even want to get a PlayStation 5? And then I see these exclusives, and I'm like, yeah, I think I want to get a PlayStation 5.
PlayStation 5! All around! Everybody's getting it. Or they're going to try.
So then the next one was this game is like kind of cutesy called Bug Snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically it starts off with like a strawberry walking around and then somebody comes up and they're like almost like Steve Irwin talking about it. Like, oh, look at this thing and how feisty it is. It is popping in their mouth and it's delicious. And it's like, wait, did you just eat that thing?
Right.
And then, like, but then, like, the arms turned into the strawberry, so it almost seems like you turn into what you eat.
That's random.
So it's weird. And there's a part where, like, someone on Earth is like, comes up at the end and it's like, hey, I was trying to carry the lights around, but because I have weenie hands, I dropped them, and now the town's on fire. And the host person's like, again? And then they, like, as they leave, like, they kind of focus, like, the camera's still on the same shot, and then the bush in the background starts rustling, and something that looks abnormal comes rushing towards the screen, and that's the end of it. So I'm guessing that must be the villain or the enemies that you're fighting. So the next game is just this, I don't even know if you want to call it a game. It's called Astro's Playroom, and it almost seems like a playable tech demo for the PlayStation 5. And it's going to come preloaded into every PlayStation 5 sold, so get ready at some point, kind of like how Nintendo bragged about the Wii Sports being the best-selling video game ever. If PlayStation 5 outsells the Wii, then Astro's Playground will be the best-selling game ever.
Wow. I wonder if it'll be interesting at all to play.
Well, I mean, considering it's free, I'm sure you'll at least like jump in there and dig around with it when you're like bored.
Don't underestimate me.
Well, at least once you're like, all right, and there's nothing else. I don't have time to like play like a real game.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna jump in and check this out. I got like 10 minutes. I'll check this out.
Yeah.
And I'll either decide to play it more or never again.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then the last one, Pragmata. I don't even know. Like, it looked like it's set in some sort of dystopian future with like robot people.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they end up on the moon. So I don't know. And then they like the girl will ask, "What's that?" And the guy's like, "Our freedom." So I don't think it originally takes place on Earth, but they're going to end up on Earth. This looks like a game. At least you should at least check out the first trailer, and it'll probably make you want to dig a little bit deeper into it. I don't know, but Sean, I have a question.
What's up, man?
And I feel you're going to judge me, but I'm okay with it.
All right.
Should I buy a $100 limited edition of a game that I already own for a different system?
Does it have special content or special collector stuff in it that comes with it that you really want?
It comes with a statue of one of the cool characters in it and the soundtrack and a couple other things.
What game are we talking about? That sounds familiar.
Probably like the game that I love the most that everyone hates the most, besides like the people that it's like when people admit they enjoyed or love playing Fallout 76 and everybody else feels that they need to shame them. It's Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning. They're doing a remaster for the Xbox One.
Interesting.
It's coming out in August.
Oh, and you get a special figure?
Yes, you get a statue of one of the figures and the soundtrack and a bunch of other stuff. Because the soundtrack is actually pretty good, too. Or should I just, like, put the version that I have on my Xbox 360 disc and my Xbox One since it's backwards compatible?
Oh, man, that's pretty... That's pretty funny. I mean, you definitely get like a lot of stuff in this.
Did you look it up?
I did look it up. I mean,
the re-reckoning.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's so. Is the figure of that giant troll thing then?
It's not a troll. She's like a dark elf.
I must be under the wrong thing because that does not look like a dark elf. I might be under the wrong thing.
It's Kingdoms of Amalur: The Re-Reckoning, not The Reckoning. Gotcha. Is what the master is.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Of course, it wouldn't just go to an easy link. This is starting to take too much work. This is why I can't do homework. Like, if it's not like a couple clicks, I'm just done.
Where did I see it? I found it on, I found it immediately.
I don't know, man. I got nothing.
No, you don't. Your Googling is almost worse than my wife's.
Dude, that's what fucking Deidre says all the time, man. She says that I can't Google. I don't even know what that means.
It means that you can't Google.
Man, I just feel bad because I remember sort of liking the game, but I could never get like stick around and finish it. All right, the figure does look pretty cool, man.
You actually found it?
Yeah. Thank you, Amazon.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, that was one of the characters that I liked in the game. Mm-hmm. At least the design. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, the gameplay felt really quick and stuff. I thought the game wasn't bad. I just don't remember what... I just felt like I couldn't, like, stick with it, though, for whatever reason.
Right. Like, one of the reviews that they... I was, like, reading about, they ended up giving it, a 7.5 out of 10, said that, like, the combat system was really cool, and, like, the world itself was cool, but, like, the story and, like, what happened in the world was just kind of bland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basic RPG stuff, which... But you gave it a 7.5 out of 10. That's not a bad rating.
It's true. That is true.
But yeah, so that's the dilemma I'm facing right now. Do I just, I don't know, open up my Xbox 360 one and deal with like the not updated graphics on backwards compatible, or do I get the cool updated graphics and a cool statue with the soundtrack? And
you do love your soundtracks, though.
Right? And it hopefully has a full soundtrack, because I don't want to get screwed like the Sega Kagura does, where they give you full soundtracks, as opposed to like Square Enix, where it's like they give you a sampler soundtrack and it's only like 3 songs.
Cool story, bro. That's the worst.
Or even like Persona. Like when I bought the Persona one, it had like 50 songs on it.
Damn.
Yes.
And you still haven't even beat Persona 5 yet.
But I've listened to the soundtrack. I beat the soundtrack.
Hey, I know this song. You know Danny in like 5 years finally playing it before Persona 6 comes out. Oh, man. Exactly. Oh, I remember this song. It's a good song.
I like this song. I should have played this game sooner so I could listen to the music. I mean, you're not wrong.
Oh, man.
150 episodes, Sean.
150 episodes. 150 more to come, because we hate everybody and we want you to suffer.
You know, everyone's talking about how like Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. I think we should just take the nihilistic approach of No Lives Matter. And that's to make you suffer.
That would be a good way to go about it. Let everybody suffer.
Exactly.
Make sure you follow us on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, all those fabulous places. Make sure you check us out on Facebook and Instagram, maybe even Twitter if Danny's still up to it.
I haven't tweeted as much because, like, I do Instagram. Instagram's more fun.
What is there to tweet?
Exactly. Was that not a philosophical question? Like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? If a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, does it make a sound?
Here's my what one hand it, clapping.
What is it to tweet?
I don't know. It's sadness.
Our friend Peter posted a Freddie Mercury meme about the COVID-19 on the Facebook. No mask on your face, you big disgrace, spreading your germs all over the place.
That's pretty funny.
It is, isn't it?
Good times. All right, Danny. Until next time, man.
Later.